We'll pick that up next week. Don't worry about it. Anyway, you got your Bibles open to Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14. You know, change is an amazing thing in life. It's something that has to continually be going, but it seems like in the church, we're the most resistant group of people there is to change. Well, I don't like this, and I like it the way it used to be, and that old-time religion and all that stuff, you know. Well, I'd rather have the romance than the religion, okay? Religion is like man's rules trying to show you how to build your own stairway to heaven, where romance is that Jesus already made a way. Why don't you jump in the elevator and push the heaven button, you know? Because it's a free gift. We receive that grace through faith, and God does great things. But change is an important part of our development as Christians. Because like the one old boy said, God loves you so much, he'll take you just like you are. I'm so glad he did that. Because I was a miserable sinner, man. I'll tell you what, and God just reached down in my garage and got a hold of me. But he loves you too much for you to stay the same. And that requires some change. So you got to be willing to do this, and not in a kind of a self-shaming kind of a way. God just says, hey, look, I want to lift you up. And there's two main reasons that causes people to change. One is pain. It hurts so much to stay the way you are that you know you got to change, because I don't want to feel this way for the rest of my life. And unfortunately, in the world, you know, the folks that don't know Jesus, 99% of change happens because of pain, you know? But there's the other part, and that's promise. If you knew the promises of God, I like what one old boy said. He said, if you knew it was on the other side of that mountain that's standing in your way, you'd move it. Like Mark 11:23 says, say to that mountain, be removed. Yeah, if you knew what was on the other side, you'd get a little more into it, right? So we're talking about developing in this radical love that's pushing the boundaries of God's infinite love. Now, God's love is infinite. You're not going to make it any bigger, but you have no idea what has been made available to you through the love of Jesus Christ. It seems like we just take two steps and we go, well, you know, I got it. It's good. It's great. I'm going to heaven. Woohoo! But unfortunately, on the scale of 1 to 1,000, you're at about 2. And there's 98, you know, there's 998 more good things that are out there that you don't even have an idea for. So you got to start pushing. This love of God that's been shed abroad in your heart will bring, so many good things into your life. In fact, we're going to talk about that today. Amen? Now, let's take a look here in Ephesians chapter 3. One of the two great main prayers that the Apostle Paul prayed. One's in Ephesians chapter 1, but I really like this one. It gets overlooked an awful lot. But it says right here, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell, you need to have that strength, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. In other words, know it by experience for yourself. It's not enough just to know about it. You need to taste and see how good it is. So which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So be it. So think about it. We need to be strengthened with might in our inner man if this love's going to take a hold, because there's like two things that are fighting on the inside of you all the time. Your old carnal nature and the new nature, the new man, what the Bible says, take off the old man, put on the new man, you know. It's like yesterday, I was out working in the yard a lot, you know, and I had to change my shirt a couple, two, three times because I was grossing myself out, you know. It's like that. Can I please have a little breeze, Lord? Well, I took off the old sweaty shirt and put on a clean one and went back at it. You know, I had to cool down a little bit, but went right back out at it again. But there's two things on the inside of you that's trying to take control. And you got to decide which one's going to do it. Is it going to be the love of God that's on the inside of you, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ? And the Holy Ghost, are you going to go down that road and do things his way, or are you going to go down the other road that you've always gone down, put a little window dressing on so you're not as bad as you used to be, and call that the life of Christ? You got to decide which way you're going to go, and you need the strength of God to choose the road that love has carved out for you. Because in the middle of that road of love is everything you ever wanted, Everything you ever wanted comes out of that road of love. So, you know, Christ, we need this so that Jesus himself and his anointing would rest upon us. You need to have that yoke breaking, you know, crushing, destroying power of God's anointing to be on you. Or else it's not going to dwell in your heart by faith. See, this is not a patty cake thing. Christianity is a strong man's gospel. It's for the strong. John the Baptist said, you know, the kingdom of God suffereth violence and the violent take it by force. Well, really? Wow. Well, how come we're sitting back? Remember reading in Revelations that, you know, the lukewarm Christians aren't going to make it to heaven. So why don't you just go for it? Why don't you just make up your mind right now that you're going to go for every bit of it? But you got to have Jesus to do that. Because you got to be, first of all, you got to be rooted and grounded in love, or else none of this stuff works. So if you're only settling for 2 on a scale of 1 to 1,000 in your love walk, don't be surprised if you don't get all your prayers answered. Don't be surprised if you don't see the miracles and have that close personal walk with God. Because it's all interconnected with the God kind of love that's already in your heart. See, we got rooted and grounded. We got to have that. We got to have our roots deep and our foundation strong, one translation says. Another one says we need to be established. Here's another one that says rooted deep and founded securely. I like what the Message translation says. It says, having both feet firmly planted on love, may your roots grow down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. I like that. That just paints a picture to me. And that's what's available to us. See, but our decision to love one another like Jesus loved us is the gateway to everything. It opens all the windows of heaven over your life. But you got to decide whether you're going to do that or not. It's easy to pull back. Well, you know, I don't want to be abused. I don't want to be taken for granted. I don't want this. I don't want that. Well, it ain't about you anymore. It's about the love of God that's dwelling in your heart. And what are you going to do with it? Because one day we're going to have to give an account. So I want to just be that person that's just, I'm looking for more of this love that'd be connecting through my heart so that I can receive more and then give it away. Because that's the only life that matters. That's where the joy is. That's where the adventure is. See, we got to live this life of radical love. I say radical, it's not radical in heaven. It's just radical here on the earth where everybody else is trying to watch out for number one. I'm going to take care of me, and if I got any left over, maybe I'll help somebody else if they're just right and they smell good and they look good and everything else. And it just kind of suits me. Well, no. The radical love of Jesus Christ, I don't know about you, I'll just tell you my story, sought me out in my garage when I was working on my Harley and rolling a joint. And I said, God, if you're real, I want to know it. I wasn't being flippant. He started talking to me. Oh, my gosh, can you imagine? The God of the universe comes into my garage at 28 Smith Street right here in Coldwater, dirt floor, one-car garage. Found out later on after I tried to make it a little more palatable for doing different things in it. You know, I finally got back in the one corner and found out there was a dead possum back in there underneath the rug. It was a dirt floor. Got tangled up with the dog that I had when I was a kid, and there was, didn't matter where I was at. Didn't matter what I was doing. He saw value in me, and he sought me out, and that love set me free. Now what am I going to do with the love that he did for me? I'm going to do something with it. Because that's the whole theme. That's the whole purpose. That's what everything, you know, comes out of. 1 John chapter 3, it says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Do you realize we're all called to be encouragers? Every one of us are here to encourage everybody that we run into. Are you looking for the bad things or are you looking for the good things? Because you'll find both. Just depends what you're looking for. Do we see value in people, you know, out of Walmart that are wearing their pajamas going through the store? It's like, please don't do that. I can't get that picture out of my mind. Or do you just care about them because they don't know no better? It's a decision that you have to make 100 times a day, maybe 1,000 times a day. I don't know. But this world is having an awful time. It's kind of like it's devouring itself. But where are the people that are believing the best in somebody? That's what love does, right? Love works no ill to their neighbor. Are we going to be that person? I can't make your decision. You got to make it for yourself. But I'm telling you, everything that's good in Christianity comes out of that love walk. Everything comes out of that love walk. And it takes faith because your flesh don't want to do it. No flesh said, I'm not going. No, not that person. No, sir. No way. Remember back when I first got saved and, you know, I got kind of stirred up about going out and telling other people about Jesus. And I went to a festival thing they had in downtown before they had Strawberry Fest and Apple Fest. So I'm walking around, man, I'm there to do it. You know, I'm just going to, you know. And the Holy Ghost pointed me out to a guy that was, you know, he's about 350-pound, big old bib overhauls, just didn't have a, I don't think he could have smiled if he wanted to. Great big old grumpy dude, just kind of leaning up against the tailgate of his pickup truck. And the Holy Spirit said, go talk to him. I'm going, God, please, is there somebody else? You know, because on the inside of me, all of the carnal side, all of the natural side, all the reasoning is going, boy, I go over there, he don't want it. He's just going to pound me in the ground like a tent stick. And I hate to say it, but I didn't go. And the devil used that to whip on me. Oh, I'm telling you what, I was put to shame in so many different, because I started believing the lies that somehow or another you ain't got what it takes. And that haunted me. So I go all the way to Tulsa, Oklahoma, answering the call of ministry. This is years later. Go through all of the schooling and everything else out there. I mean, graduated pretty close to the top of my class and everything else, but I knew something was still missing. Something, I am not going to have something just choke off the flow of love through my life and pretend to be a minister. Can't do it. So I realized, well, I've got to do something about this fear I got, whatever it is, because perfect love casts out fear, but, you know, there's a fight. So I signed up for this thing over at Billy Joe Daugherty's church, Victory. Anyway, they had this evangelism explosion. It was a Presbyterian course. Can you believe that? God's frozen chosen. Well, Dr. D. James Kennedy, he had that big TV ministry. He had created this 16-week course. Man, I'm telling you, that's more than 3 months, near four. And you had a whole lot of preparation to do. And we went down in Crack Alley, I mean, Shoot 'em Up Alley in North Tulsa. Heavens to Betsy. I mean, you couldn't hardly find a gas station up there because they all been robbed and shot up so much they just closed and moved farther south in town. But we went, knocking on the doors. I mean, a guy with all these locks unlocks it, and he points a shotgun out the door going, what? You know, it's like, man, I'll tell you what, I needed that. Because you get through that, you ain't scared of nothing. 350-pound guy sitting on the back of a tailgate, he's a piece of cake, man. I'll go talk to him anytime now. But you see, you never overcome something you choose to tolerate. And I tolerated that. And I stuck around Christians. I tried to be the best Christian I could, but you see, I can't be a good Christian if I'm bottling up this love and not giving it away. I can fool myself all day long, but it messes everything up that Jesus set in motion by his blood. I like what Billy Graham said. He said, renewal is brought by the Holy Spirit. Believers will learn what it means to minister to one another and to build each other up. No longer will our lives seem ordinary and indistinguishable from the rest of the world. One other guy said, encouragement is oxygen to the soul. I believe it. Go over here to John chapter 15. See, there's blessings in walking in this love. And the most important place, the first place that you start at, is right here with the people that are seated in this building. That's the plan of God. If you can't love your brothers, man, you got all kinds of problems. And it's not the same as tolerating them. It's not the same as I didn't do anything bad to them. See, if we withhold love, that's a big deal in God's eyes. But over here in John chapter 15, look at here in verse 9, it says, and as the Father loved me, it's probably written in red in your Bible, as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. So abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Man, I'll tell you what, the first big benefit I get out of that when I read that is that I can have God's joy on the inside of me. You know, Nehemiah says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Well, what happens if you're filled with God's joy? When the devil comes along and he starts throwing his fiery darts at you, they just go bink and fall right off. You don't get nervous. You don't get sideways. My God's bigger than all of this. In fact, you get to the point when this joy is running on full steam, you just go, is that the best you got, Mr. Devil? You just start laughing at him. Why? Because my God's going to handle this. My God's going to supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. I can laugh. I can have everything because of the joy's there. That means I don't get down in the dumps. That means I don't get under the circumstances. Think about it. It strengthens me in the trials. Go over here to 1 John. Well, wouldn't you like to have that kind of joy? One of the things I noticed when I first come back from Tulsa and started this church is how many people had a sourpuss on everywhere you went. No smile, no nothing. No joy, no happiness. Nothing to give away. It's a funny thing about joy. If you don't give it away, you'll explode. Because it just keeps building up on the inside of you. You know? How many ever dropped a 2-liter bottle of pop and then carefully went to pick it back up? And that thing is so tight, you're thinking, please don't blow, you know, because I'm going to wear it. That's what joy will do for you. Man, I'll tell you what, it's the best way to live your life is just full of joy. Joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Joy that sets the captives free. Joy that comes up to somebody that's down in the dumps and they gravitate towards you because you got something they need. God will bring people into your life that need some joy. Because the world is out there sucking it out of everybody. But we got an inexhaustible supply. Amen. Why? Because I'm walking in love. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14 says, we know. We don't think, we don't guess, we don't hope. We know. Say that with me. We know we pass from death to life. Why? Because I love the brethren. Peter doesn't. He does not love his brother, abides in death. What do you want? You get to choose. God said this to the Old Testament believer. He said, I'm sitting in front of you, life and death, blessings and cursing. Choose life. I'm just giving you a little hint, you know. Choose life. I know I pass from death to life. That's why it breaks my heart when I talk to people and say, yeah, I've watched this TV preacher and I prayed that prayer and I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Really? What do you do with that scripture there? Well, I don't like organized religion. No, you like a do-it-yourself Christianity, which is not Christianity at all, because if you could do it yourself, why did Jesus go to the cross? Come on. Think about it. I can have total assurance of my salvation. That is strengthened. That is renewed. That is brought into a more powerful reality in my life. Why? Because I'm walking in love. And the coolest thing is that if you believe the best of most people, 90%+ of the time, you're going to be right. But so many times the old flesh gets a hold of us and the devil starts whispering in our ear, oh, you don't want nothing to do with her. She got purple hair, man. She's nuts. Well, that's okay. She married Justin. She needs to be a little Abby normal, okay? It's all right. A normal woman wouldn't work. You know? I mean, maybe she can get away with it, but I know I can't. But who cares? You know what? I'm just going to love. I'm not going to sit back and pick people apart. I don't care what you're going through. I'm just going to love the stuffing out of you till Jesus gets through to your life in every way it can. But you see, this love requires us to have a partnership with the Spirit. That's why I know I've passed from death to life, because I can't do it on my own. And because I've grown closer to the Lord, I know He's interacting with me. I know I'm a child of God. Because I just talked to him this morning. He just shared something into my life this morning. Is God alive? Well, absolutely. He talks to me all the time. I used to love it when I'd go up to the psychiatric ward when I was the chaplain at the hospital here in Coldwater. It was great, man. It was a box of chocolates. You never knew what you're going to get. So anyway, you go up there, and these are wonderful people, and they're just hurting. I mean, I don't care if you got a stomach issue or a brain issue. It's just an organ, okay? God can get through and fix anything. So I'd get up there, you know. I love it. This one, I said, so what brings you up here? Well, I hear voices in my head. I said, so do I. What do yours tell you? And she'd tell me a few things. And I go, well, let me tell you what my voice is. I'd tell them all about Jesus, you know, because he's constantly speaking into my heart. I'm going to tell you what I got, because it'd be wrong not to. Heavens to Betsy. Think about it. The love of God sets us free from the law of sin and death. Isn't that great? We know we're saved because he's with us always, challenging us to go up a little bit higher. Take it up a notch. Remember old Emeril Lagasse, that cook, you know? Yeah, bam. We can go farther than we ever thought was possible just by taking another step of love. But every step of love, every time you take a step up a little higher, it's uncomfortable. But that's temporary. But the joy that comes into you, that assurance that Jesus has used little old you, it just strengthens you, makes you more confident. You pray different. You know, I mean, you just act different to everybody that's around you. Why? Because you got that confidence. You're a child of God. You got a blood covenant with the creator of the universe. He will do what his word says he'll do. Now, we started out in Ephesians chapter 1, you know, where he starts out and he says, for this reason I bow my knees. You know what? That tells you you need to look back up just a little bit and find out for what reason. Because he told you a whole bunch of stuff before he got to this point where he started praying, for this reason. So let's go back to Ephesians chapter 3, and this time start in verse 8. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. See, Paul, when he wrote to the church in Ephesus, I'm telling you what, this was a masterpiece of theology. Now, don't get scared about theology. I know theologians will take something so simple and make it so complicated, you're like, oh, it's out of my reach, I guess I can't have it. God's ways are mysterious. Baloney. God's ways are simple. God's ways are always full of love. God is an encourager, the ultimate encourager. So he how many in here are grandpas? Come on, I want to see you. Grandpas, come on, get it up there and hold it up there. Why is a grandpa loved so much by the grandchildren or the grandmother? Because we put the cookies on the bottom shelf, man. Come on. Malachi comes running into my office. By the way, I got reloaded. I want you to know. Because I got this little glass jar with goodies in it, you know. And he comes running in, of course, right past Mom, and he comes in there, and he's looking. I know what he's looking for. He's looking for my candy jar. Me and Malachi, we got something going on here, you know. But that's the way God is. He's not holding stuff back from you. He puts a cookie jar on the bottom shelf, for crying out loud. He's the ultimate. Every grandpa knows. Maybe not the grandmas, but grandpas know this, because grandpas are brought into a child's life to show them how to get in trouble in ways they never thought of. I'm just saying. I'm in the grandpa zone. But I've also learned that if you eat dessert first, there's always room for dessert. Come on, I'm preaching real good. Y'all getting quiet out there. What do you think God's like? You think he's some mean old white-haired dude with a big fly swatter sitting up on his throne in heaven going to whack you the next time you do something stupid? No. So let's take a look here in Ephesians chapter 3. What sparked this whole prayer that we started the service with? He says, to me who am less than the least of all the saints. Paul's talking. He says, I'm nothing. This grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's the cookie jar that's on the bottom shelf. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ, Jesus Christ, to the intent, for this reason, that now the manifold wisdom of God, I love this, might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you don't lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Think about it. He talks about this love. He follows up with love, so it's all tied to this love. And God says, you get a hold of this love, and it gets a hold of you, and you start walking in it. You start letting it make the decisions for you. What would Jesus do? Remember that big deal that they had for the longest time? It's still valid for today. But if you'll do that, God will make you, you know what? God can make you a genius. Think about it. But you got to be walking in love. Because the Bible says knowledge puffs up, but love edifies, you know? You can have the biggest, fattest head, we just have to butter up your ears so you can get through the door. Here's some people that are just legends in their own mind, aren't they? I mean, they just irritate the rest of us that already know everything, you know? But if all I know is that the love of God's on the inside of me and it's a never-ending well, you know what? God will make me a genius. I can't tell you how many times when I was working in the secular field or losing my key, anything. And I just get real quiet on the inside. I'll just start praying in tongues a little bit so I'm getting a little bit out of my reasoning side of who I am. And I'm just listening in my spirit, man. And the Holy Spirit show me how to fix things. Holy Spirit, just tell me, calm down. Sometimes that's all it takes. It gives you a mastery over every situation. Because why? You got the manifold wisdom of God. I know all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? So if I got the Holy Spirit who knows everything living on the inside of me, if I just tune into him a little bit, man, I'm telling you what, He'll show you everything you need to know about decisions you're making today that's going to affect your tomorrows and those that you love. So that manifold wisdom is there. It gives you boldness. This love gives you boldness, and it gives you access with confidence into the throne room of God. Why? Because he's a love God, and I'm his love child. And he just delights in seeing me come to his throne. Why wouldn't I pray? Why wouldn't I study his 66 love letters, the Bible? That love is intoxicating, man. It just changes you in every possible way that change could happen. Why would you not want to go deeper in love? But the crazy thing about love is you can't just get it and keep it for yourself. It don't work. It's kind of like manna. They did this in the Israelites, you know, when God was feeding them every day with this manna. If they tried to double up so they had some for tomorrow, it just rotted. Got full of maggots. That's why my wife won't eat rice to this day. Her brother tormented her about that, you know, when she's just a little kid. But you see, that love, you got to give it away every day. Every chance you get. Because what happens is God just opens a spigot in heaven just a little bit more, coming that love coming into your life, because you're just giving it away. You're just giving it away. In my house, I've got a well, not on city water. I got a well. And so I'm out sprinkling my garden. And I had one of them big old fan things, and I had one of them things, you know, trying to get the water out there on my tomato plants and all that stuff. Problem was, is after a while, all the little holes where the water had come out got plugged up, one after another after another. Well, what comes out of my well, I have to filter it, and then I got to put it through a water softener before I'm going to use it in the house, because it's, you know, pretty gross when I clean the filter out. A lot of black carbony kind of stuff, smells a little bit like rotten eggs, you know. Whatever it is, the water coming up out of the ground needs a little bit of love before I'm going to drink it, you know. But the hose doesn't have all that. So all that crud that's in that line plugs up the holes. Well, same thing with your life. There's stuff in your life that plugs up the flow of God's love that comes out of your life, that brings life into everybody that's around you, all the people around you. Every now and then you got to go out there and, you know, I got me one of these little wires and I go to the next one. Turn the water back on. I got everything flowing just like it's supposed to. So you got to do a little inventory now and then. Because you're only as close to God as the person you love the least. Can I say that again? You are only as close to God as the person that you love the least. I don't care if it's a Democrat in Washington. You better love them. Because otherwise, you're plugging up what the blessings God has for you. So you have this. You have this assurance. You got this partnership with the Spirit. You got the manifold wisdom of God. You got boldness and access. Let's go down here over here to Galatians chapter 5. I like what the Bible says here. Now, while you're looking for that, let me just share a few other things. See, I can stand up under anything if I've got this love flowing through my life. But it's got to flow through. I can't just hang on to it, all right? It says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith that works through love. Faith works through love. What happens if your love's all pinched off? What's your faith doing? I'm telling you, there's a couple places in the New Testament where it says, if you can't forgive that other person, God can't forgive you. Let that sink in for a minute. So I'm going to forgive everybody because I'm messed up. I need forgiveness all the time. So I want that love flowing through me that's going to give them forgiveness, because I know the love of God's coming towards me, going to give me forgiveness. I want my faith to be hitting on all 8 cylinders when it comes time to go pray for somebody that's sick. I want my faith operating as strong as it possibly can. And the only way that's going to happen is if my love walk is operating as strong as it possibly can. You cannot have one without the other. You can't. It just doesn't work. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5, in the Amplified said, love takes no account to the evil done to it. You know, that could set a lot of people free in the church today, because I'm telling you what, the spirit of offense is alive and well in the body of Christ in America today. We're offended about anything, everything. You do something wrong to me, boy, I tell you what, I'm going to do everything. I'm going to tell everybody what you did. Come on. That should never be even spoken of in the body of Christ. Love covers a multitude of sins. Somebody does something ugly to you, who cares if they did it intentionally or unintentionally? The blood of Jesus will take care of that. God will help them through that. I don't have to sit back and point the bony finger. I'm going to believe the best in everybody. I'm not going to take an account of a suffered wrong. And that ain't easy. How many of you know that can get pretty rough sometimes, because some people are really good at messing your life up. It's like they got all of their instructions from the devil himself, and they're sent, like Paul said, that thorn in the flesh, the messenger that was sent to buffet me. Doesn't matter. I'm going to have that power. I'm going to have that to walk with the love of Jesus Christ. I'm going to have my faith working. I got to walk in love. See? It's all interconnected. Galatians 5:22. For the fruit of the Spirit is love. I remember one guy told me, it's like the fruit is like, that he's describing here in Galatians, is like an orange. Now, personally, I like the little mandarins. I like the ones that open up easily, you know. But anyway, that's the fruit, love. But it's got all these different segments that are in it. The fruit of the Spirit is love. What else does it say? It's joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Think about it. If you got the love of God operating in your life, you are no longer an emotional wreck. You know, your emotions are kind of like a 10-year-old squalling in the back seat and saying, I want to drive, I want to drive. Who gets out of the car and lets a 10-year-old drive? Nobody with any brains does. But yet we do that all the time in our life when we let our emotions, those impulses, the gee, I want it so bad, I can't stand it, I got to have it now. You become an emotional wreck. See, that's about spiritual maturity. If I'm walking in love, I'd say no to me with no problem, because God's got something far better than whatever I could ask or think, according to the power that's working on the inside of me, right? And that power is love. Romans 13, go ahead and look at this. It says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Does no harm to his neighbor. I'm telling you what, if you're doing that, if you're walking in love, you're going to have supernatural favor. You're going to have doors open for you that nobody else would open. I remember back when I was going through Bible school, I got done with all that, and anyway, so I'm out of school, and then my wife was going to school, but I got a love letter from Uncle Sam. It says, greeting, this is the IRS. Most time people just go, oh no, what does this mean? Don't want to read the rest of it. I was going to get a 3-year tax audit. Never been audited in my life. They were going to go back over 3 years. I thought, well, cool. I always pay my taxes. I don't care. Well, this 1 year I had, because I'd sold a house in Coldwater, went out to Bible school, that you know, by you got so many months and you got to file whether you made any money off of the sale of that house, because the IRS wants your money, you know. And the guy that I had do my taxes that year, Rhema graduate, CPA, let off all the alarm bells in the IRS, you know. And all of a sudden, it's like the laser's on me, because they don't care if I paid him to do it. I'm the one that they're going to come after, you know. So I went to this big old office building in downtown Tulsa, you know. In fact, before I had that, I called this guy back up who did my taxes, and I said, we need to talk. I got this letter. So he comes over to my house, didn't tell me he was going to charge me $100 an hour just to listen, or I'd have practiced the 5 B's of good preaching. You know what the 5 B's of good preaching are? Be brief, brother, be brief. So that cost me $100 to have him sit there and tell me, I've had so many people get more money back from the IRS after the audit than they. I'm like, that didn't pass the sniff test. You know, I'm not stupid. So anyway, he wasn't going to go up with me to the IRS building. I went up there by myself, and I had all my paperwork and everything else, you know, and I got up there, and I can't tell you how many different times I sat up with this sweet little lady that was across the desk from me. Every now and then she'd look at me and go, are you okay? I'm going, yeah, what do you mean? I'm fine. I got out of there with only having to pay the taxes that this Yahoo screwed up. And he showed me on the form on selling the house that if you made less than zero, enter zero. In other words, if you lost money on the sale of that house, and I did, from all the repair receipts I had for everything. I bought it was my mom and dad's, the one I grew up in. It was a glorified chicken coop, man. Well, anyway, it says if it's less than zero, enter zero there. And he put down minus, I don't know how many $1,000s, and just, I mean, even I could catch that. When it was all said and done, I paid no interest. I paid no penalty. They even had the head gal that was over that whole department in that office complex come in, sit down, explain some things to me. I'm going, fine. Why? Because the love of God on the inside of me told me it doesn't matter what's sowed against me. I'm going to be all right. How'd you like to have this, get an IRS audit? It's kind of freaky. My flesh is going, hoo. But in my spirit, it's like, we got it. I got backup. You know, I don't care. The Lord had blessed me, and I knew He's going to keep on blessing me. But look at here, the fruit of the Spirit. I'm no longer an emotional wreck. I have unusual favor. Doors are open for me everywhere I go. Oh my gosh. Think about it. 1 John 3:14 says, he who does not love his brother abides in death. You know what? If I'm walking in love, death has no legal hold on me. Oh, this old body is going to croak someday. That's all right. But death in and of itself, man, I'm going straight to heaven where the love is so sweet. There's nothing restricting it. Everything is the way it's supposed to be. Nothing broken, nothing missing. But you see, I'm abiding in life. Think about it. That way I'm never going to withhold love from somebody. If I got the opportunity to bless somebody, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Why? Because I want all the blessings. Go over here to 1 Corinthians 11. I was hoping I'd get through this today. Because here's a real important one right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Cheryl, you want to pop that up there? I know I didn't put that on the list. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23. It says, for I have received from the Lord. This is a communion passage. Paul's writing to the church in Corinth who screwed this thing up so bad. He had to let them know, no, you don't just do it as a free-for-all. This is what it's all about. So he's explaining them to it. For I have received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till it comes. Pretty powerful stuff, ain't it? We'll keep reading. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment on himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. What he's saying here is that the church in Corinth, because they had slaves and they had rich people, they had the full spectrum of society would come to a church service. And what they would do, they just made communion a big old eating fest, and the people that had nothing sat there and watched everybody else break out the prime rib and everything else. The rich dudes brought way too much and didn't share it. So what Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit was that, hey, you got to think about somebody other than yourself, or you're going to find yourself in trouble because your love isn't working. And by the way, that's the only commandment that Jesus gave us. The only law is the law of love. And the only job he's given us is to tell people about his love. Tell them how good Jesus is. Tell them how God wants to save them. He isn't holding their sins against them. But you see, if we don't judge ourselves, we're in danger. There's a lot of Christians. Well, I don't care what you say. I'm just going to be this way, and I'm right, and that's all there is. They did that to me. I'm not giving up on that. Like an old dog chewing on a bone. Well, would you rather have the bone, or would you rather have the prime rib before they ate all the meat off of it? I'd rather have the prime rib. That's why I'm going to walk in love. That's why communion is not only a vertical expression of my love to God, but it's also a horizontal expression in my love to God, because I'm loving on everybody that's around me. Especially the Christians. Especially those that rub me the wrong way. Especially those that have done terrible things to me. Especially those that have left and, you know, said all manner of evil about me. I'm just going to love them. Honey, there ain't no option if you want to draw close to God. You can choose to be offended. You can choose to be flesh dominated. But I choose, and I hope you do too, to let love be the only thing that directs your life. I don't ever want to go through the motions as a Christian. That's what kept me from being a Christian for a long, long time, was Christians that just played the game. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be the reason why somebody doesn't come. I refuse to be foolish because I know that God's got good things for me. You ever wonder why bad things happen to good people? Most of the time it's right here. Oh, they can look good on the outside, but man, I'll tell you what, they just hold a grudge. They're offended. They won't let go. Good Christians, come to church every Sunday. Give in the offering. Do all that kind of, and for some reason, their faith doesn't seem to work for them very good. Well, it comes down to this right here. God wants to bless your socks off, but you got to give up this whole thing about what about me? Stop being ornery. Stop being angry. Stop being, indifferent. You let this love walk start to get a hold of you, and it won't take long. I promise you, it will not take long. And you will wonder, why did I wait so long? This love is too incredible. You know, Satan, just like in the Garden of Eden, came up to Eve, says, yeah, God, did God really say that you're not supposed to eat of every tree in the garden? Got her to question God's word. In the New Testament, love is the number one thing. He'll come along and say, that love thing, you don't have to go too far. You don't want to get unbalanced here now, do you? Yeah. Because if I'm nuts, at least I'm screwed to the right bolt. Because if everything God does, he does out of love, if I'm living for Jesus, I got to have that same thing cooking in my life. People can tell. People can tell real quick if you're genuine or not, whether the love of God's on the inside of you or you're just like the checkout lady at the grocery store that says, have a nice day. They don't mean that. You can tell right away who ones that do and ones that don't. I like that one gal out of Walmart. She goes, be blessed. She's a sweetie pie. She is so cool. Yeah. It's coming right from the heart, you know. So here's the thing. You got to decide. Are you going to go for this radical love or not? I can't make that decision. I'm just saying we exist. God left us on this planet to radically pursue the boundaries of this love. I mean, get into the deep end of the pool. It's entirely up to you. When I was out in Idaho, they had the big Snake River Dam broke loose and wiped out an entire town. I mean, took the foundation stones away from the houses. Concrete slabs are gone. So we're down river on the Snake River in Idaho Falls. This went back when I was in the Navy. They got a Navy base in Idaho. Don't ask. But anyway, government intelligence, that's all I'll say. And this Snake River, we were playing in it about a month before. They had like a highway, regular, like an interstate type bridge going over the river and all of that. It flows pretty good. And about 300, 400 yards down the creek there, well, gosh, it's wide as a city block, maybe bigger. There was a Horseshoe Falls, waterfalls. So we would jump off. This river is moving, man. We'd jump off of the highway bridge and land in the water, and buddy, you're going at about 15 miles an hour. This thing's moving. So you immediately start paddling like Tarzan for the shore. You're getting in that river, the current's going to take you. Take you over the waterfall, take you all the way down to the end. I don't know, but the thing is that there's a river the Bible speaks of that flows from the throne of God. And we're invited to wade out into it. You can get your big toe wet. Well, that's all right. You can go in there ankle deep. You can go in there and paddle around knee deep. You don't have a good time. But the invitation is to go all the way out in the middle of it. And that's the river of God's love that's going to take you to places you could never go by yourself. It will open your eyes to the goodness of God that you never knew existed. Turns your life into a doggone party. Why? Because God shows up every day. You're walking in his love, he's got his eye on you. You get a little low in your love tank, he's going to fill you back up again. Not only that, he's going to make your tank even bigger to where this whole thing becomes your lifestyle. And you don't have any more worries. You don't have any more lack in your life. You got people that are around you all the time. You're just one of those guys that just can make a friend in a half a second. Why? Because the love on the inside of you is giving you supernatural ability. Straight from heaven itself. Wouldn't it be great You know, I talk to friends that are living in different places in ministry, and they're having a tough spot. You know, God brought me back to my hometown. And I've been doing this as best I can for as long as I've been here because it works. Every time I turn around, God's blessing me with this or blessing me with that, or I got a need and somebody goes, yeah, I got one of those. I'll just give it to you. Why? Because this love is making an impact. And all I'm saying is that if we're going to be the church that God's called us to be, which, by the way, is called the Oasis of Love, you know, that was not by accident that we got that name. I'm just inviting you to take another step, go a little deeper. We jumped off right off the bridge, right in the middle of the river. Had to swim like crazy to beat the current so we didn't go over the waterfalls, which we were pretty sure was not a good thing. We were crazy, but we weren't quite that crazy. But anyway, the power of God's going to take you places. But the only entryway into the God's power is through God's love. And it's not complicated. It's a little uncomfortable when you first get started, but after a while, you just don't care anymore because you can hardly wait for the next thing that God's going to do in your life. Amen. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Straight up 12 o'clock. Truth be told, love is everything. And I just want to ask you with an upraised hand. Nobody's looking. Nobody. If you know you need help in this department in your life, that you've been hurt so much, sometimes it's awful hard for you to be loving. Just slip your hand up in the air. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm asking you to be real. This stuff ain't easy, what I'm talking to you about, till you get into it and the love kicks in. And then it's supernatural. You can go ahead and put your hand down. How many of you are pursuing this love? Wanting more of it? All right. Heavenly Father, I just thank you right now. You know every heart in this place, Lord. You know them inside and out, up one side and down the other. But Lord, I'm asking you as a pastor of this church to give us that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, specifically in the knowledge of your love. That the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, Lord. That we would know the hope of our calling. Lord, we thank you for that. And our calling is to take this love and give it away. So, Lord, give us opportunities. Give us divine appointments. Help us, Lord, just to be a blessing to someone every single day. Preferably a stranger, but not exclusively. We got a lot of work to do, Lord. And it's not going to happen until our love walk gets all the way up where it needs to be. So please help us, Lord, to see that, to pursue that, and to enjoy the benefits of it. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. See, the Bible's simple. It really is. Don't worry about that temporary discomfort. Just push through and do it anyway. Watch what God does. Before you know it, yeah, you're going to be a love junkie. You can hardly wait for the next opportunity to give some away. Because the goodness of God is going to get all over you. And your life will never be the same. Amen? Amen. Amen. Tonight, men, 6 o'clock, what are we going to do? We're going to eat. We're going to feed our physical man, then we're going to feed our spirit man with the book of James. Also, if you wanted to get one of those sign-up sheets that petitioned for that ending the partial dismember or the dismemberment abortion thing or whatever, please grab that. There's plenty of them back there on the information booth. And let's just give the devil a headache. Take this love and give it away. What do you say? Amen? Amen. Well, we'll see you Wednesday night. Be blessed.